We're going to be learning the halachas of Shemitah exclusively. So we can at least start Shemitah with a knowledge of what halachas at least are applicable right away in the beginning. There are many halachas that don't become applicable until later in the year, in the end of the year, or whatever. And little by little we'll get to them. But for the time being, it's important at least to get a basic idea of what's going to apply immediately after Rosh Hashanah and to a certain degree before Rosh Hashanah. In general, there are a few areas that Shemitah deals with, or that is relevant to Shemitah. One is working the land. There are halachas, what are you allowed to do to plants, and what you're not allowed to do. And that's one area that we'll speak about, and that begins at least right after Rosh Hashanah, and we'll see certain things even before Rosh Hashanah. Then there is the halacha of the produce of Shemitah. Most Shemitah produce, except for certain vegetables, are not going to be till into the year. Fruit for sure, not till the summer, and even certain vegetables aren't going to be nogeya till Cheshvan, till about a month after Rosh Hashanah. There will be certain things that the halachas of Shemitah will apply to them immediately after Rosh Hashanah. We'll get to them. And then there's halachas how you have to deal with produce that has Kedusha Shviyas, that is Shemitah produce. And we'll discuss what is Shemitah produce, what's not, when does it grow. Not everything that grows during Shemitah is Shemitah produce. And then, towards the end of the year, next year, we'll speak about the laws of beer, because they don't really apply till then. We're not going to speak about them until right before they begin to apply, which is probably before or right after Pesach this coming year. So that we're not going to get into. And so what we will speak about now is the halachas that apply till Rosh Hashanah. Very few, but some do apply. What will apply after Rosh Hashanah in how to take care of your gardens and house plants, and what vegetables will be Shemitah produce immediately after Rosh Hashanah and how to deal with it. Okay, I don't know if we'll get to all of that tonight, but we'll get to all of it before Rosh Hashanah at least. Okay. The only halacha that we missed because of our vacation from the Shir was a halacha that had to do with Tezayin Av. And that is, from Tezayin Av and on, you're not allowed to plant fruit trees. Okay, there are exceptions. Depends where the tree was originally planted. But to plant a fruit tree from seed, right, or in certain cases even to plant a sapling, is usher now. Fruit trees only. Fruit-bearing trees are okay to still plant now. But fruit-bearing trees are usher. And the reason is because since the year of Orla, if it's less than 44 days before Rosh Hashanah, doesn't start till the Tishrei. So it seems like 3 years from now, when you look back, that you planted the tree during Shemitah. People won't know you planted it less than 44 days before Rosh Hashanah. The reason being that 30 days in a year is considered a year. But you only start counting those 30 days after 14 days that it takes the tree to, the seed to take root by a tree. So you need a total of 44 days, which means the 16th day of Av is 44 days before Rosh Hashanah. So if you planted a tree before that time, then when Rosh Hashanah comes, you already start counting the second year of Orla. But if you plant a tree after that time, then the first year of Orla starts on Tishrei of Tavshin Samaches, even though you planted it less than 44 days before Tishrei, had all those extra days, they don't count. So it looks like you planted the tree during Shemitah. So therefore the Rabbanan asked planting fruit trees less than 44 days before Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah. So during this period now, you can't plant any fruit trees. If you did plant a fruit tree after Tes Zayin Av, ask a Shaila, you may have to uproot it. You may not. But ask a Shaila. If you have planted a fruit tree after the 16th day of Av, okay, by mistake. Okay, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there were halachas of Tosefta Shviyas, which started from the Torah 30 days before Shemitah, and a certain halachas the Rabbanan extended even from Pesach and Shavuos. Those halachas don't apply anymore. There is an opinion that there is a mitzvah of Tosefta Shviyas, but it's only a few minutes before Shkia of Erev Rosh Hashanah, which anyway, we don't do malacha because of Yontif. So nobody's going out in their garden 3 minutes before Shkia to plant anything or to hoe, weed, or do anything else. So it's really irrelevant. But you should have in mind, what's it called, Erev Rosh Hashanah, that when you stop doing malacha because of Yontif, you're also stopping to do malacha of gardening, things that are prohibited during Shemitah. There's also another opinion, which we don't necessarily follow, but there's no reason not to be machmer, and that is not to plant things that will not take root before Rosh Hashanah. That means trees, we said, take 2 weeks to take root. So if you plant even a non-fruit tree, we're talking about non-fruit trees, because fruit trees already can't plant anyway, but non-fruit trees, you want to go and plant a tree before Shemitah. So it takes 14 days for a tree to take root. So if you plant it less than 14 days before Rosh Hashanah, right, so it's going to take root on Shemitah. You didn't plant it during Shemitah, but you caused it to take root during Shemitah. There is an opinion that's aser. L'maisa l'alocha, we don't pass them like that. And you can plant a tree, Erev Rosh Hashanah, as long as it's not a fruit tree, and it's mutter l'halocha. But since there is a shita that holds the other way, and there's no real reason why a person has to wait till Erev Rosh Hashanah to plant a tree, so if you're going to plant trees before Shemitah, make sure that it's done more than 14 days before Rosh Hashanah. Okay. It takes 3 days for vegetables to take a root. So if you plan on planting vegetables, you should do it earlier than 3 days before Rosh Hashanah. Even though, again, the Ikar Adin, you can plant them 5 minutes before Rosh Hashanah. You're going to have a problem if you do that, though, because there's also a prohibition of Svichim, which we will discuss. And anything that was planted, that has to be constantly planted, not trees that bear fruit, but wheat and barley and grain, legumes, vegetables that have to be planted over and over again. Don't produce over and over, but they need to be replanted in order to produce. Those are called svichim. And the way we hold is that vegetables, at least, if they did not appear above the ground by Rosh Hashanah, before Rosh Hashanah, then they are also from svichim. You're not allowed to eat them. You have to uproot them and let them rot. They have kedusha shvias, but they're also to eat. So if you plan on planting vegetables right close to Rosh Hashanah, where they won't grow above the ground, right, you won't see them sprouting above the ground before Rosh Hashanah, they're going to be osur anyway. So therefore you should make sure that you plant vegetables at least 3 days before Rosh Hashanah. Give 3 days between the planting and Rosh Hashanah, and some vegetables will in fact sprout before Rosh Hashanah, if you plant them like that. And then after Rosh Hashanah, they'll be mutter, they won't be shvichim, but they will have kedusha shvias when eventually they grow and you pick them. Whatever time it takes to do that, they will have kedusha shvias. Okay. So that is what's it called, vegetables. So again, if you plan on planting trees, do it lechatchila 14 days, at least 14 days before Rosh Hashanah. If you plan on planting vegetables, do it at least 3 days before Rosh Hashanah. Okay. What else? Oh, no, absolutely no questions until I say you can ask a question. Otherwise, we will never finish this, and everybody will be really confused. Okay. Okay. Any gardening that will save gardening during Shemitah, even permissible things during Shemitah, should be done before Shemitah. In other words, even though there are situations when where you're allowed to fertilize plants during Shemitah, but there is fertilizer that you can use before Shemitah that will last for months and months, and you won't have to put fertilizer down on Shemitah, then you should do that before Shemitah. The Moshav has hired a gardener who I will meet with, and we will work out a plan for the for people's personal gardens of what should be done before Shemitah. If you have plants that need to be taken care of and can be taken care of in a way that will avoid having to do things during Shemitah, even the things that are mutter, obviously.
Rav told us last time not to use that fertilizer.
Not to use what?
Not to use the slow-release fertilizer. Last Shemitah we used it, and Rav told us don't.
Moshav bought it, and Rav said not to use it. More have to give him back.
Okay, I don't remember. I don't remember what happened 7 minutes ago, let alone 7 years ago.
I do remember.
But I will. Okay, but I will look into it. I'll look into it. Okay, I don't remember why. Okay. In any case, okay. Let's start then with the things that are going to be usher to do, working wise. With gardens during Shemitah. From the Torah, all Shemitah B'zman HaZeh is only rabbinic. But there are things that if Shemitah would be from the Torah, would be from the Torah. And there are things that even if Shemitah would be from the Torah, they're only rabbinic. The things that normally would be from the Torah, even though Shemitah in general is only rabbinic halacha B'zman HaZeh, because all the Shvatim don't live here, and all Jews don't live in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore these halachas are only rabbinic. But the ones that are usher from the Torah still are more strict, even though they're the Maisa only rabbinic, but they're rabbinic laws that are only one step removed from the Torah. The rabbinic laws that even when Shemitah was from the Torah were only rabbinic, they're two steps removed. Shemitah is only rabbinic, and they would have only been rabbinic had Shemitah been from the Torah. So they're more lenient. So the things that are usher from the Torah, and therefore are not mutter under any circumstances, are the following five malachas, really. And they are the following. You're not allowed to plant, and there is a shaila about if that's only planting seeds, and only seeds of anything but trees. Does it include also planting saplings? Would that also be a Torah prohibition or not? That's a shaila. And again, the only difference is in those things that were lenient, would those leniencies apply to planting saplings also? Pashas not. Except for commercial agriculture and your own gardens, all planting is also for any purpose. There's no way that you can plant anything outside during Shemitah. Okay, inside we'll see that there may be possibility of being able to plant things during Shemitah inside your house. But outside the house, doesn't make a difference if it's in a flower pot, doesn't make a difference if the flower pot has a hole in it, doesn't have a hole in it, what material it is, there's no way you can plant anything outside the house. Planting is usher. The next thing that's usher is zmira. Zmira is pruning. Now some hold that only applies to grapevines, and the pruning of other trees is only rabbinic, And some holds it applies to all trees. Okay, we'll see when we get to the details how we hold and what you'd be allowed to do on other trees. On grapevines, for sure, there's no heter to do any kind of pruning. Okay, even if the grapes, the vines will die, there's no heter to prune grapevines. Real pruning. There are other methods that are similar to pruning that only may be rabbinic. They're not mamish pruning, but what's really pruning is usur, even if the tree is going to die by a grape, and by other trees we'll see when we get to the details. Then there's an issur of harvesting, but that's not an issur across the board. That's only harvesting in the natural way, because you are obviously allowed to harvest Shemitah produce because you have to eat it. So if you don't harvest it, you can't eat it. So it's only harvesting it in the natural, normal way that's usur, and we'll get to discuss what that means, what's called the mutter way of harvesting, what's the usur way of harvesting. And harvesting includes cutting down grain, and it also includes harvesting grapes. Those are for sure from the Torah, and other things could be only rabbinic. Okay, and the last thing is harisha. Harisha is plowing. There's basically three kinds of plowing. There's plowing where you plow for the sake of the ground, to make the ground fit for planting, right? And then there's plowing that you do around trees to make the trees grow better. So the shaila, whether the plowing that's usur from the Torah is only the one where you're plowing existing trees, or where you're plowing a field to make it ready to plant. But plowing is more usur than other things. And there's another kind of plowing that surely is usur. That's the plowing that's done when you plant. You disperse the seeds and then you plow over the ground to cover the seeds. That's prohibited not because of plowing, that's prohibited because that's called planting. That's one of the processes of planting. So that kind of plowing is for sure awesome in HaTorah as planting. Okay. Okay, now, those are the only things that are prohibited from the Torah: planting, plowing, pruning, and harvesting in the normal way. And again, whether they apply only to grapes or apply to other trees, that we'll get to. Everything else, all other agricultural activities, are prohibited midrabanan. And under certain circumstances they're mutter, on certain circumstances they're prohibited. But even if they're prohibited, they're only rabbinic. And that includes watering plants. Even though on Shabbos, watering a plant is a tolda of a planting. So it's also minatoli. But Shemitah is different. The toldos, the subcategories, are only rabbinic. The Torah only prohibited the main categories during Shemitah, whereas on Shabbos the Torah prohibited the main categories and the subcategories. So the main category is actually planting a seed or planting a sapling. The subcategory is making anything grow by watering it or whatever. That on Shabbos is also from the Torah. During Shemitah it's only rabbinic. Okay. That includes watering plants, fertilizing them, and doing other kinds of activities that promote or protect the plant. Those, anything else aside from the ones we mentioned, are prohibited from the Rabbanan, and therefore there are leniencies that the Rabbanan said you can do with everything else but the ones that are usur from the Torah. Okay, the difference between the ones that are usur from the Torah and the ones that are usur only mid the Rabbanan, there's two differences. One difference is that Torah prohibited things you're not allowed to do even to maintain the plant. And Rabbinic ones you're allowed to do to maintain the plant, but not to make it better. In other words, if you're just doing it, that it shouldn't die, right? It shouldn't get worse. You just want to maintain its status quo. The rabbinic ones are permitted to do, and the Torah ones are still prohibited. And another thing, they're very similar, is hefsed. If the plant is going to be lost, if you don't do this, okay, even though it may make the plant better, but it's either making it better or dying, then you're allowed to do the rabbinic ones. And the Torah ones, even if the plant will die, you never can do them. You have to let the plant die. The question is that only if the plant itself will get destroyed? What about the fruit? The plant itself is fine. But if you don't do this tipul, then the fruit will be irreparably damaged. So there's a machlokas. The Chazon Ish is mekel. He holds that it's not only the plant, that if it's going to be ruined significantly and irreparably. Ruin means significantly, it doesn't have to die, but it has to be significantly damaged and irreparably damaged. You won't, after Shemitah, you won't be able to fix it up. What's an exception? Let me give you an example. Grass. Okay? Certain times, if you don't water the grass, so it'll turn brown. But it won't die. It just won't look nice. And after Shemitah, it'll revive. And if you water it good, it'll come back to life, and it'll be nice and green. So that's not irreparable damage. That would not permit watering grass just because it turned brown and temporarily was damaged. It would have to be irreparable damage that is significant. Okay. The Chazon Ish holds that only doesn't only apply to the body of the plant itself, even the fruit. And even though the fruit is Hector, right, the fruit is not yours. Anybody can come and take it, but we're concerned that other people should be able to take it too. Right? It shouldn't be destroyed, and nobody should be able to benefit from it. So therefore, even if it's something that will cause significant irreparable damage to the fruit, also by a rabbinic prohibition is permitted to do. And again, we'll get to the details, it's just the cloud. Don't learn any halachas from the cloud, we'll see how it applies. Rav Kook holds not like that. He held that it's only the tree itself, but the fruit of the tree, even if it's going to be irreparably damaged, as long as it won't cause irreparable, significant damage to the body of the plant, is also to do. We paskin like the Chazon Ish, and therefore it's mutter, even if the damage will be not only to the tree, but to the fruit, to the produce of the tree also. Okay.
That means only to the fruit still on the tree, right?
Next. It also includes not only the tree, and the way we paskin, not only the fruit, but it also includes if the ground is going to be destroyed. In other words, if you don't water the ground, right, the water your plants, the ground will dry up and won't be plantable anymore. So the ground also has a din of hefsed, and if it's only a rabbinic prohibition that you're doing, and it would save the ground from being irreparably damaged vis-a-vis planting, that also is mutter. Okay. Okay. Any questions on this general preface? Yeah.
Can I water my plants? Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's halacha. If it's.
We are learning the halachas of Shemitah now. I just gave you a basic preface. We're going to get to all the details. One of the details will be what your plants are, where they are, what you want to water them, how much you want to water them, right? In Yirtzeh Hashem, that's part of the program of Shiurim. We will get to it, Emir Tzashem, before the halacha becomes necessary for you to know. Tomorrow morning, you can put a swimming pool on your plans if you want. But after Rosh Hashanah, by Rosh Hashanah time, we will get to the details if you can water your specific plants or not, and when, okay? But I'm not going to answer specific questions that we didn't get to yet. Okay, anybody have questions on this specific preface that we gave? Something you didn't understand or whatever, yeah?
What about destruction? Did we talk about anything that we spoke about? Destroying plants?
Destroying only in harvesting them. Destroying them is a different problem. That's something that has Kedusha Shvius can't be destroyed. So that's not because you can't work the ground, right? It's because you have to deal with the fruit that grows during Shemitah in a special way. And part of the special way is not destroying it. But that's a separate thing. Right now we're talking about the malachas. Usually the malachas are things that are positive. They may be done in a neg, like pruning is cutting away things, but it's for the sake of making the tree grow.
The Rebbe said before about the fruit being irreparably damaged. It's only the fruit on the tree, even.
No. If like, good question. What's it called? For instance, if that tree normally produces 5 bushels of fruit, and if you don't do this tipul, it's going to only produce 1 bushel. That's called irreparable damage to the yivul of the fruit. Not the fruit that's on the tree is damaged, but its ability to produce its normal fruit is going to be damaged.
But in the future, it will, once after Shemitah, it will once again.
No, but that it's not going to once again, because that year you lost the fruit. That's irreparable.
So
for that year, it's irreparable. Hashem can grass, it's the same grass that's going to come back later. Okay, but here, that fruit's never going to come back.
Well, if I think the example of grass, it's a problematical one, but I remember many Shemitahs where people lost lawn after lawn thinking that the grass would come back again. And I know a lot of people have done Al Torah, which definitely is destroyed and you don't walk it. When Chaim spoke to the Alon in Wendy, no, not in Alon, he spoke to the Shemitah, what's his name? The Rav, I think that's
his
name. Rav Efrati. And the advice was to water it 3/4 of the amount.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But Lamaisa, there is, the example was only that it's possible that grass should not be irreparably damaged. If it will be irreparably damaged, a different story. But based on the fact that it's possible that there are lawns that won't be, those kinds of lawns, you wouldn't be allowed to water, right, in a way that they won't be irreparably damaged if you don't water it that way. But again, well, that was just an example. We'll get to the details about it when we get.
Yeah, well, the Rav answered Shimon that about damaging. If pulling out plants is that a problem? Also, of preparing the ground for.
But that's part of the tipul. We'll get to the, we'll get to the details of the thing. Okay, but stop destroying things is not. There's nothing positive about it. Stop destroying things is not Meleches Karg. Okay. Let's go to before we get to the actual working of in a garden, let's go to the Isra of Svichim. So explain what that is. Like we said already, that things that have to be planted on a yearly basis, they don't produce year after year. So even if they grow by themselves during Shemitah, right? They grow because there were seeds left on the ground, and all of a sudden they took root and they grew during Shemitah. Those are called Svichim. Or if they were planted before Shemitah and grew during Shemitah in a way they didn't yet appear above the ground before Shemitah. So they are Aser. You're not allowed to eat them, not allowed to pretty much have any benefit from them. You have to uproot them and let them rot. And therefore any vegetables that even grow by themselves, surely ones that are planted by Jews, right, in Jewish land, in a prohibited way, are asatid. Those in Isra of Svichim, and they are treif, and if you cook them with other things, they make your pots treif, and the food treif. So therefore you have to be very careful where you buy vegetables and things that are planted, you know, constantly, can only be bought from reliable people that you know that the source is not Svichim. Okay. Either it's Jewish things that sprouted before Shemitah and then have Kedusha Shvius, or they are from Arab land, and the Rabbanan did not prohibit things that were planted or grew on land owned by Goyim in Eretz Israel. The Isra of Svichim does not apply to land owned by Goyim. Now this Shemitah, and that's why most vegetables in the past came from Arab land, right? From land that Arabs cultivated, and therefore the vegetables were mutter. They were allowed to work during Shemitah, and what's produced by them is not prohibited. So most of the vegetables came from Arabs. This Shemitah is different for a few reasons. One is that the Arab land that used to be used is now a Hamastan, where there aren't too many Mashgichim that would like to go there and instead of be buried there also, probably. So there's no Arab land that can have Hashgacha to make sure that the Arabs aren't buying it from Jews, which happened in past Shemitahs, where the Arabs were selling vegetables that Jews sold them that were grown on Jewish land that were also. In addition, the Arabs, to sabotage Jewish interests, like to make money on selling us vegetables, but also use sewer water and all other kinds of things to contaminate the vegetables in hope that some Jew is going to get sick because of it. That's also not a fairy tale. It happens. Thirdly, a lot of the money that goes, if you buy Arab produce, ends up in Qassams or whatever, and funding terror, right? Funding our enemies, which is also not a great thing. So therefore, there are alternatives. I haven't yet. I was supposed to be in a Beis Din, but I think they forgot about me because my kapedas were too much for what they wanted to do. But could be that certain things from that Beis Din are still okay. There are more than one Beis Din. Some of them will accept their horos and some not. Where they're going to try to get produce from Jews in Medinas Israel, but outside of Eretz Israel. In other words, the boundaries of Eretz Israel end somewhere south of Ashkelon and north of Eilat. That's a big area. There's all differences of opinion. In this, the Badatz is lenient, and Rav Eliyashiv is more machmer. So there are things that the Badatz may say are okay and don't have Kedusha Shvius, which we hold do have Kedusha Shvius. And if they have Kedusha Shvius, they may be also because of Svichim. So just because something has a Hechsher of the Badatz during Shemitah does not mean that we can eat it. It becomes very complicated. During Shemitah are the regular hashgachas that we normally accept, including the bedats of the Edi Haredis, are not necessarily the halachas that we follow during Shemitah in a few ways. This is one of them. They hold that anything south of Ein Yahav, which is very close to Ashkelon, is already considered Chutz Laretz. There is no halacha of Svichim there, and there's no Kedusha of Shvius. So if they bring vegetables from Moshavim that are south of Ein Yahav, you can look at a map and see where Ein Yahav is, they will consider it mutter and no Kedusha Shvius. You could treat it as if it was Arab produce. There's no Kedusha and it's not Osir, which is obviously what we're looking for. We're looking for vegetables that are mutter And if they're mutter, they probably won't have kedusha shvius. There are exceptions. We have an area, a shetach of Moshe Matityahu, where we rent out, and somebody planted vegetables there. The vegetables already have sprouted, so they're not going to be usher because of svichim. But they are in Eretz Yisrael proper, and they have kedusha shvius. So they're going to have to be what's it called, mishuvak? You say that? Marketed by what's it called, by an Otzer Beis Din, and they will have kedusha shvius. Those are the ones you're going to have to throw in special garbage cans and make sure you don't do the wrong things with them or whatever. But we're trying, what? But we're trying to get as much produce that's Jewish produced, not Arab produced, and doesn't have kedusha shvius, so doesn't have the problem, and surely doesn't have svichim. So that's going to come from an area where even Rav Eliyashiv holds it's outside of Eretz Yisrael, which is much farther south. It's the area south of Faran. There are yeshuvim that produce vegetables after that part. There, pretty much everybody agrees. There are still some machmirim, but that already, we're not that much machmirim. There's some machmirim who hold that even a lot is still part of Eretz Yisrael proper. That's a big chumra. So anything south of Faran, we will accept. And those won't be svichim, they won't have kedushas shvius, and they'll be Jewish produced. So we are going to try as much as possible to avoid Arab, what's it called, yavul. We will not try to avoid imported yavul, just because it comes from goyim. Now it's not that we're trying to give, you know, as much business to Jews, we'd like to do that also. But the problem is, there's not enough Jewish produce, right, in the areas that we'll accept from to supply all the vegetable needs for the year. So we're going to have to either rely on some importing, which the government doesn't allow a lot of it anyway, but that we won't be adverse to, and we'll try to avoid as much as possible, even if it means not having all the vegetables that you're used to having, right, of getting from Arabs, again for the reasons I said. And even in the past we weren't makbid like that. Under the circumstances now, there's more than just the halachas of Shemitah not to take from the Arabs. There's halachas of Pikuach Nefesh not to take from the Arabs. So we're going to try to avoid as much as possible getting produce from Arabs. So also there's another possibility, as we'll see, and that is things that are grown inside hothouses, not relying on that alone, but grown off the ground inside with a separation with the ground that's acceptable, where that also doesn't have kedusha shvius, doesn't have an isser svichim, and could be grown in the borders of Eretz Yisrael, just as not grown in the ground in Eretz Yisrael, like Gush Katif Aleha Shalom. Like not exactly, because what Gush Katif is not Shemitah. Okay, in other words, it's good for bugs, but it's not separated from the ground enough for Shemitah. You need more than that. We'll get to these halachas are nogeya to everybody here also, how you deal with house plants, how much they have to be separated from the ground and how to be separated from the ground inside the house. So therefore, and also there's another problem, and that is that produce like our vegetables from the Moshav Shetach is grown by Jews in Jewish land, is not Svichim because it sprouted before Rosh Hashanah, but as Kedusha Shvius. That means part of Kedusha Shvius is you can't just sell it and buy it as normal produce. It can't be bought and sold in the normal way. It can't be weighed the normal way and sold. It has to be sold in a way that's almost like distribution and not a sale. And it also can't be sold because nobody owns it. It's hefker. So it has to go through an Otzer Beis Din, and the Otzer Beis Din charges for the expense, not for the vegetables. It's a means of being able to get Shemitah vegetables to the public to cover the expenses of the marketing, but not to charge for the vegetables themselves. That's a legitimate thing. It's called Otzer Beis Din. And when we had a store, Alei HaSholem, and things were much easier, because then we could distribute Shemitah produce in the permissible way. The person who ran the store, Chaim, was pretty proficient in these things, and we worked together to make sure that everything was purchased properly and sold properly, or whatever. The stores in Kiryat Sefer do not do this properly. They sell the vegetables regular. I haven't seen any signs yet of people having to come and sign things in Aleph or in Shefashuk. They are not necessarily owned by Frum people, not run by Frum people. I don't know how much control the people in Kiryat Sefer, the Rabbanim there, have over these things. From what my experience was in the last Shemitah, they just sold things regular as if it wasn't Shemitah, and a lot of it was Shemitah produce. It wasn't all Goyish produce.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
In Modi'in, they had something where people had to come and sign up and pay 50 shekels a month, and Rav Lau was running it.
Okay, but in Modi'in, we don't rely on the Hashgacha there unless it's the Mahadrin with Rav Lau's name on it, not the other Rabbanim there. Modi'in is a problem. Again, they may be doing it properly, but they may be getting it from the wrong places. Right? Again, it's a difference of opinion where to get from and what to get from. And there are people who are marketing over there things with Heter Mechira, which we don't rely on. So Modi'in is not a, unless it's something that we'll check out specifically, a specific thing, any Hechsher in Modi'in for Shemitah is irrelevant to us. Okay, if the Badatz is irrelevant to us during Shemitah, surely Modi'in is irrelevant to us during Shemitah.
No more so.
So again, just because they seem to be going through the right motions does not necessarily mean that that's acceptable to us. But here in Kiryat Sefer, the supermarkets, from the best of my knowledge, are not going through the right motions. We're going to have to decide how to do it. Now, I'm going to have to get contact this Beis Din that wants to, and then everybody will have to sign up, and it'll be distributed, and there'll be a charge based on the expenses or whatever, and it'll come through basically in Otzer Beis Din, the vegetables. I haven't heard any information yet, and again, you have a whole month yet before this is anything is nogeya, and probably more than a month, because not too many vegetables are going to be already able to be Kedusha Shviyas and not Svichim immediately after Rosh Hashanah.
What about Ruben?
What? Some things, yeah. But
what about Ruben?
What about what?
Ruben, the Arkan. He used to be in Merkaz Pribe Yerek. He used to be in Abnezenzan or in Arachayim.
I have no idea. If you ask me where Avni Nezer and Orachaim is, I don't know. So I surely don't know who Reuven is on either of those streets, but if it's a possibility, we'll check it out and see who the Hashgacha is or whatever. What? Fine, okay, let's call Nissen Karelitz a very fine person, and we'll if he has Hashgacha or Nissen Karelitz, it's probably okay for us. We'll check it out, but again, I don't know. Okay. Okay, I think that I've confused you enough for tonight. This only comes once in 7 years. As you get into it, it gets easier. Next week we will devote totally to gardening. What you can do, what you can't do, how to prepare your plants in the house to make the easiest way of being able to deal with them before Shemitah comes. There's plenty of time to get your aluminum foil and cover the bottoms of your planters, and that's what we will do exclusively, speak about gardening outside and inside, and that should prepare us pretty much to start Shemitah properly. And by next week, maybe I'll have some information about where we're going to get vegetables from. Fruit's not a problem. fruit is all the fruit that you're going to get in the beginning of the season is all shishis. It's all 6 years, no problem. Yeah.
I have two things. Number one, as far as season is concerned, I remember from previous shishis flowers that have a layer.
Oh, we'll get to flowers. We'll see. We'll get to flowers.
Number two, I know when we were sitting with a family that's very new here, they had absolutely no idea about the producer's spheres and visual and what to keep, and that's something that's very important to
that's
me.
Part of what we're going to learn. Okay.
Quite quickly. But,
yeah, but again, until even like a few weeks, till there's not going to be too many things with Kedusha's Shvias that are going to be a problem. So we still have time. We'll probably get to it before Tishrei, and before Rosh Hashanah anyway, but it's not that dachuf as immediately day after Rosh Hashanah what you can do in your garden. Okay.